Good morning. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and this morning I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 24. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Now, this Sunday, we've asked our young people to talk about their favourite characters from the Christmas story. And if you tune into the service, you'll hear what their thoughts are. But I've chosen my favourite character from the Christmas story. I mean, obviously, everybody's favourite is Jesus. But my second favourite is Joseph, his father. Now, Joseph seems to have a bit part in the Christmas story, almost like one of the extras. He doesn't get a single mention in Mark's Gospel. Paul never refers to him, and the Western Church ignored him for over 1,000 years. He was eventually sainted just over 500 years ago, and 19th of March was chosen as his feast day. It's the middle of Lent, but you can eat meat on St. Joseph's Day. He's the patron saint of tradesmen and workers, of travellers and refugees, of the persecuted, of Christian families and homes, of purity and the spiritual life, of engaged couples, of people in temporary distress, of the poor, the aged, and the dying. The reason God chose him to be the earthly father of Jesus appears to have been because he was a descendant of David, and not because of any merit of his own. But I think that would be unfair, because this morning I want you to notice Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Joseph, Mary's husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Thereafter, he is reassured by an angel, and the rest is history. But before the angel comes, he did not want to expose Mary. Think about that for a minute. The older translations refer to Joseph as a just man, somebody who was eager to do the right thing. Let's be clear about this. Christmas generates so much warm-heartedness during such a cold season, and Joseph and Mary are invariably depicted as this loving couple who romantically have a son in a cattle trough. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Really? You imagine a cow snorting in the face of your baby. Not nice. We romanticise Christmas far too much. But get this. The pregnancy of Mary was an absolute scandal. These days you hear of the Taliban executing women accused of adultery. They bury them in the ground up to their waists so that they can't move, and then they start hurling stones. And that wasn't much different to the reality in the Jewish world of Jesus' day, death by stoning. I remember watching a very good drama some years ago which captured the social stigma. Quite apart from registering in Bethlehem, the holy couple needed to escape from Nazareth. Mary was in serious danger as her pregnancy became more conspicuous. Modern Britain is very different. You get pregnant outside of marriage, and that's okay because we're a non-judgmental society. Until fairly recently, it even gave you a bit of an edge if you wanted to get a council flat. But ancient Israel was quite different. If you got pregnant outside of marriage, the law said you should be stoned to death. There was no sympathetic social worker to plead your case. But forget Mary for a moment. Joseph, too, was in a difficult situation. He loved Mary, yes, but now she had humiliated him. What should he do? See, it's not easy. you care about someone, they betray you, part of you wants to hurt them back. There was a drama on TV a few years back called Broken, about a Roman Catholic priest and the people he tried to help. So here comes a woman who has stolen £200,000 from her employer to feed a gambling addiction. The money is all gone now and she is about to be exposed. It's not just the guilt she feels, it's the shame. What will people say about her, and how humiliating will that be for her husband and children? She could live with the guilt, but not the shame. And in the end, suicide is the easier way out. You can imagine the shame for Joseph as well as Mary. It would almost have been easier for him to hand Mary over for execution, to wash his hands of this unfaithful trollop. But instead he tries to protect her, and in the process begins to look a bit of a fool. Who's the other fella, Joseph? Oh, she conceived by the Holy Spirit, did she? Well, that's an original one, not one we've heard before. Oh, an angel confirmed it, did he? Hey, boys, you couldn't make this up. And I don't know how it would have been for Joseph when he returned to Nazareth. People referred to Jesus as Mary's son. Talk about rubbing salt in the wound. As a society, we generally love rubbing people's noses in it. Former Chancellor George Osborne got hold of a handwritten note by Gordon Brown once and sent it to a handwriting expert. The analysis that came back said this: "This is the writing of someone evasive, unreliable, with poor judgment and not in control of his emotions." How cruel and vindictive for that same evening that the news broke. The news broke that Brown's son had cystic fibrosis. We love creating heroes in this society and raising them up and then gunning them down again. We love to shame people and we show no mercy. But Joseph did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. That was the measure of his righteousness. As he saw it, she'd been a very silly girl, but he would not make matters any worse for her. He would put in for a quiet divorce. In the event, he had a dream and he stayed with Mary. Their destiny took them to Bethlehem, then Egypt, and then back to Nazareth to face the music of a disapproving society. But for now, just notice the heart of the man. He did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. If only all of us were a bit more merciful, a bit more empathetic, a bit less critical. Because actually, that's what God is like. Yes, he's the God of law, of high principles, of the Ten Commandments, but he's also extraordinarily kind. The infant Jesus grew up and he rescued a woman caught in the act of adultery and secured her survival with the words, "Whoever is without sin, let them cast the first stone." For he is the image of the invisible God, the one who combines truth and grace, the one who prizes forgiveness over judgment. There's an old hymn that captures this quality so well. There's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice which is more than liberty. For the love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. May we learn from Joseph and from God himself to be a little less judgmental and a whole lot more merciful.